Down. I feel like I ought to like jump off here and run right now and hit zero. But I'm glad you're here tonight for session number two of our root study. I am and I will, and I need to say something that last week on Wednesday night, it was a terrible weather night and a lot of people were still here, but we said we were not this semester planning to do live feed to Facebook and to YouTube, but last week we might have changed our mind. So there were about 600 people that watched us online last Wednesday night, and we've kind of determined that we'll continue that. I don't want to say reluctantly, but I'm going to be real frank. The goal is that you come here on the campus. There's something that happens when we're together. But I also realize there's a lot of people that doesn't work for, and we're not trying to exclude them. So if the Lord is willing, and I'll talk a little bit more about some of that later, but we will try to continue to live feed that this semester throughout. And tomorrow it'll be posted on our church website. So if you need to come and get that for somebody, you can send that to somebody, you can do that as well. It'd be posted to our website on the following day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your name. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your church. I pray, Father, tonight that your presence would be among us and you would open our eyes to see what we never could see before, our ears to hear what we never could hear before, and our hearts to believe and receive what we had no idea was even out there. And it will change us from the inside out. Lord, make us yours. Lord, have us so that we might have you. Know us that we might know you. And receive us that we might receive you. All of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, session two. Last week we talked about Jesus' announcement of his name. And I can tell you up front, every one of these tonight and the next six sessions will all be based upon that foundation. That in John chapter 8, Jesus rocks their world. And he tells them his name. And he tells them his name in a way that if you were Jewish in that culture, you just had your world rocked. Because he says, I am. And they knew what that meant. And that's going to be the foundation for at least the first part of this this semester. So I'm going to start with that in case you missed it last week. John 8:56. Your father. Jesus is looking at Jewish people who understand Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they understand Moses, and they understand the Old Testament law. They get it. Okay, they know it. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. Now, Abraham predates Jesus by some 2,000 years, okay? Your father Abraham rejoiced and he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad. The people said, Jesus, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen Abraham? Now, that sentence is important because what it tells you is how they perceive his revelation. How can you say you've seen Abraham? You're not 50. It isn't just that Jesus is saying, I know Abraham. No, I've been with Abraham. How can you're not even 50. How can you say you've seen Abraham? Abraham's 2,000 years ago. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born. Forget about it, I knew him when he was an old dude. Before Abraham was even born, I am. Now, if you wonder, did they get it? Well, just look at the next part. At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him. You better believe they got it. There's no way. You'd be 2,000 years old. But Jesus was hidden from them, and he left the temple. Jesus is I am. Abraham lived 2,000 years before Jesus. And by this moment, by this revelation, he is revealing something that to the Jewish people was unimaginable. You mean you are here today in the flesh, And you were there in the flesh before, or not in the flesh, but you were there in the person before Abraham? That's not possible, is it? He's revealing his name, which connects him to Abraham, which connects him to Moses, which connects him to the Exodus, and his identity. The I am then. Now there's your foundation. The I am then makes seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. Seven of them. Tonight we will deal with this one when he says, I am the bread of life. He announces his name and then he announces seven truths about himself, which will identify his identity and his purpose for coming to the earth. Tonight, let's focus on the bread of life. Now, I'm going to read pretty much all of this context, John 6:32, in which he makes the revelation of he's the bread that comes from heaven. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us this bread every day. And Jesus replied, here he comes. I'd like to see their faces when he says this stuff, because you can tell by their response. He's rocking their world again. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Give us this bread every day. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never, never be hungry again. That's some kind of bread. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you've seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come, now don't miss this next one. For I have come down from heaven. Huh? I thought you were from Galilee. I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me. Not to do my will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have, this is big, eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. Notice that's the second time he's brought that last day stuff up. And I will raise them up at the last day. Then the people began to murmur. They began to murmur in disagreement because he said what? What's causing the murmur? I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven. And that created a murmur. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father. We know his mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? But Jesus replied, stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And here comes number three. At the last day, I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father, only I who was sent from God have seen him. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never, never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. You think he's making that clear? Anyone who eats this bread, I came from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, here it comes. You think they weren't already confused? You think they weren't already upset? Anyone who eats this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Ooh. Last week we talked about Jesus revealing himself as the I am. He's before Abraham, he's before Moses, he's before creation itself. And what happened when he did it? When we talked last week, what did they do? When he said, I am, before Abraham was even born, I am. What was their response? No, let's get some stones. We got to get rid of him. Let's kill him. Why? Because that's blasphemy. We don't believe that you are who you say you are, so we're going to take you out. I am in this scene tonight. Now, that's last week. I am in this scene tonight reveals himself as the bread of life. Now, how do you think they're going to take that one? We got two examples of Jesus saying, just simply saying who he is. He's just revealing who he is. His name. And now he's revealing not just his name, I am, but he's putting the purpose of his arrival upon the earth after his name. I am the bread of life. How do you think they're going to take that? So let's start breaking this down. Let's go back and repeat verse 41. The people began to murmur. You know what murmuring is? Huh? Y'all doing it right now. You can't really tell what they're saying. It gives you a funny feeling. When everybody around you starts, you're looking for a back door. The people began to murmur in disagreement because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. They said, isn't this Jesus? And notice their context. How are they thinking? This is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, right? We know his father. We know his mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? Everybody, listen carefully. This is a progressive thing. If you don't know his name, it is highly unlikely you're ever going to understand his purpose. Because what begins this is he reveals his name. Once you can figure out who he is, his name, then when he starts identifying his purpose, I am the bread of life. And see, when he said I am, they picked up stones. When he said the bread of life, they start to murmur in disagreement. So let me ask you a question in light of that. Anyone hear him murmuring around these parts these days? Stoning, murmuring, disagreements. Why? Because of his name and his identity and his purpose. Has anything really changed? Here's the part I find kind of interesting. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus did what we're reading tonight. And has anything really changed? I mean, really, has anything changed regarding his name and his purpose? And just this past week, I was watching an online program from a Lamb and Lion ministry called The Great Reset. It's about 5 or 6 minutes long. It's worth listening to. It's an interview between Jan Markle and Nathan Jones. And in that interview about the Great Reset, they start talking about there's an organization called the World Economic Forum with leaders like Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, Prince Charles, and there's a whole bunch of other ones, many of the names you would recognize. And they have this plan of a one world government, which we've known about for years. But one of the things that kind of shocked me, in their documentation, they make no apology and they don't try to hide it, that one of the things they have to achieve the new one world government is the elimination of Christianity. Now, why? What's that got to do with their ability to achieve their one world government? You see, you can't accept the name and anything else outside of the name until you accept the name. In other words, they don't coexist. The plans of man do not coexist with the plans of God. And Christianity becomes the thing, the person, and it's not me, and it's not you, and it's not necessarily the church. It's the name. Because the name stands in the way of man's agenda. Because man's agenda, I told you last week, just ask any question you want in the world, and he can answer it with his name. I hope y'all worked on that this week. Just any question you want to, see if at the last day he can't look at you and answer your question with just two words and three letters. I am. He's the answer to every question. But this other group's trying to answer all the world's problems without using his name. Instead of him being I am, it's them saying I am. It doesn't work. So, can anyone see any stones or murmuring regarding the name and his purpose today? We are in our generation watching a reprogramming of human society. And the whole reprogramming of human society that we are experiencing right now, and have been for over a year now, is the idea that we've got to get people disconnected from this name. We're going to create a world order that doesn't need or rely upon this name, so that we can, because is I am stands in the way of everything humans would ever want to do on their own. Creating a blind obedience to another source and power. And by the way, it's not people. I'm going to focus on that this Sunday. It's the spirit of Antichrist, which is the spirit of Satan himself. Jesus' message about the bread of life, let there be no mistake, is singular. I am the bread of life. It is a singular, exclusive announcement. And it makes people nervous when you become singular and exclusive. And because what you're really saying, what Jesus is really saying, I am, that's singular and it's exclusive. The bread of life, not one of the breads of life. I am the singular bread of life. I am the source of life. I'm the one who sustains life. I am eternal life. And it is singular. It is only. It is the. It is one. And when you start talking like that, people get nervous. And they murmur. And they murmured then and they murmur now. That's why this new world order has to do something about this I am person and this I am movement to create their world agenda. Exclusive talking about the I am creates murmuring disagreement. And last week, when we talked about his revelation of his name, it was predicated by a question. The question was, these people look at Jesus and they say, who do you think you are? Remember, we talked about that last week. And that's what the Jews asked Jesus when he announces his true name. Who do you think you are? Now this is really important as we go into this next part. When Jesus revealed I am as his name, he was answering a specific question. Who do you think you are? I am. That was his answer. What's that got to do with today? Because the problem today is the I am is not a person wrapped in flesh in Jerusalem. The I am is the Holy Spirit living inside the people called the church. And he's still here. And he's still the impediment of the world order that wants to operate without his name. And the world order wants to operate without his name. But the problem is his name is still here. Because he's still here because he's inside of me. He's inside of you. He's still here. He hasn't left. He's still here. So, John 8:58. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden from them, and he left the temple. Who do you think you are? They said it to Jesus, and they're going to say it to Jesus' followers today. When we hold to a standard that the world has rejected because they rejected the name, you know what they're going to say to the church that houses the I Am? Who do you think you are? I Am. And I'm not talking about me as the I Am. I'm talking about I Am. He lives inside of us. That's because they reject his claim to be the I Am. John 6:42. They said, "Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and his mother. How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" You know what the truth is? They don't know his father. It says in that scripture, it says that, "Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph?" We know his father. We know Joseph. Yeah, Joseph, Nazareth. You know that guy? They don't know his father. They don't know his father. And because they don't know his father, they don't know who he is. And until you get the I Am part, the name, you're not going to get the bread of life part either. This whole conversation about the bread of life begins with them recounting how God supplied life-giving bread from heaven to the children of Israel while they're in the wilderness in the time of Moses. And if you want to look at the timeline, that's about 1,500 years before Christ. So I'm going to do something. I want to look at the context of the bread issue. Why is bread coming up? Because the children of Israel know how God delivered them through the wilderness with manna, bread from heaven. It was there every morning on the ground. When they got up, they could eat it, and it sustained the life of a couple of million people in the wilderness over a period of 40 years. You think they don't know that? You think it's not in their history books? They understand it. So this whole bread thing is a real Jewish topic that everyone understands, okay? So they were even getting that part wrong. And here's what I'm going to say. They were thinking Moses was the supplier of the bread from heaven. So Jesus needs to clear that point up before he gives them his revelation. So let's do something. Let's back up a couple of verses in the story above where I started reading earlier. Let's go back to verse 30. They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe you." What can you do? Now notice the difference. One is show us who you are, and the other one can show us what you can do. Jesus would rather show you who he is. Because once you get who he is, you'll never ever have to ask him again, "What can you do?" Because his name's I Am. And I told you, he can do anything. He's got no limits. After all, our ancestors here, they're talking to Jesus. Our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. And the scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give them bread from heaven. My father did." Now you think they took that one very easy? I think they took that as an insult. My father did. And now he offers you true bread from heaven. The true bread of heaven is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Moses didn't give them bread. Moses wasn't the bread of life. Nobody could say, "Moses, you are the bread of life." No, he's not. Did Moses have a mobile bread factory in the wilderness that cranked up every morning real early? No. So who gave them bread? Don't miss it. Who gave them bread 40 years in the wilderness? Jesus said, "I Am." Now how do you think they're going to take that? So the answer is this. I'm going to try to drive this home tonight. When you get the name part, who do you think you are? Who gave them bread for 40 years in the wilderness? Moses. No. I Am. I did. Who do you think you are? See, once you get the name part, once you acknowledge the name part, the whole bread of life thing, that's not a struggle anymore, is it? Jesus answered, verse 58, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, before Moses was even born, I am. The manna bread to the Israelites in the wilderness was what? What did it equal? Life. It's life itself. Without that bread, what's going to happen to those 2 million people in the middle of nowhere? 2 million people, they're going to die. What is bread equal to those people? What is bread equal? Life. Okay? Bread of life. Manna from heaven, bread of life. And they're attributing that to Moses. Moses gave us bread of life. And Jesus says, no, he didn't. Moses can't keep you alive. Moses was not the source of life. Moses could not give or sustain their life. Moses wasn't alive before Abraham existed. Only the I Am can give and sustain life. In fact, Jesus contrasts the temporary nature of the manna that they got in the wilderness to the permanent life that his physical appearing is going to bring. So now he's going to do something. He's going to compare what their ancestors ate with Moses in the wilderness to what he now brings from heaven. Okay? Both of them were the bread of life. One was temporary, one is eternal. Verse 48. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but guess what happened? They all died. None of them are still here. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread which I will offer so the world may live is my flesh. Did you see it? His death, he's announcing in this scene, his death is our life. His death, his flesh, will become our life. The manna was only a shadow. What Moses was giving out, what God through Moses was giving out in the wilderness, was only a shadow of the reality fulfilled when the I Am would become flesh and blood human. So let's jump over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. So the Word became human. Some translations say the Word became flesh. What is it that Jesus describes is the bread of life? What is it? My flesh. So the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the creator in the beginning. And then in John chapter 1 it says, and the Word, that which was creating, now has become flesh. It becomes human. And made his home among us. Remember what Jesus says, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. I am the flesh that comes down from heaven. I am the bread of life. He was the... So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. The bread of life is the I Am. The I Am is the bread of life. You cannot separate the two points. You cannot say to yourself, I believe he's the I Am, but he's not the bread of life. You can't say he's the bread of life and extract the fact that he is the I Am. If you accept the name, you accept the purpose of the name. They are connected, inseparable, and it is exclusive, and that's what creates the murmuring. It is singular. It is only. Is it possible? So, why are they murmuring? Why are they struggling? Is it possible to never die? Because what's he saying? Whoever eats the bread from heaven, your forefathers ate manna in the wilderness and they eventually dropped dead. I'm giving you something that'll keep you from dropping dead. So the question, logically speaking, is it possible to never die? Is it possible to eat a bread from heaven and never die? Only when you see Jesus for who he really is could you even comprehend that his flesh, the bread of Christ, could prevent and eliminate death. John 6:50. Let's just look at the first, that one verse. And I want you to look at the crowd's faces when this comes out of his mind. Out of his mouth. When you use your imagination, what do you think they thought when he looks at them and says, anyone who eats the bread from heaven, he's already told them that that's him, will never die. How long's never? One more point, and then we're going to change gears. Did you notice that in this announcement, Jesus uses the phrase last day three times? Because I surely did. I preached a sermon a few weeks ago that focused on that as well. Three different times he connects the bread of life to I will raise you on the last day, on the last day, on the last day. What's that about? So let's look at that. Look back to verse 39. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me. But that I should raise them up on the last day. What's the bread of life got to do with the last day? Why do you need to raise them up on the last day? If they're never going to die, why do you got to raise them up on the last day? I hope you all know the answer to that, or you all missed that a few weeks ago. You got to go back and watch it. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Now I'm going to start doing something about this point. I'm going to connect the series. I am and I will. I am and I will raise them up on the last day. I've got goosebumps on my body. I am and I will raise them up on the last day. I am the bread of life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Do you believe it? Because they're struggling. They're murmuring. What did you say? I am, and I will. Accepting the I will is no longer a problem when you accept the I am. Because when you know who he is, the what he says he's going to do is no longer an issue. What does he say? I will raise them up on the last day. I will raise them up. Why does he need to raise them up? Because he said, I am, said they will never die. Let's go to verse 44. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will. Here comes that I will. I am and I will raise them up. So what is the I am mean by last day? Is it possible that the I am has already seen the last days and the last day? Does he have foreknowledge? Does this person standing there making this speech recorded by the Apostle John already know about the last days? And does he already know about the last day? Does he already know that I am and I will that we're currently reading about? I will raise them up on the last day. He already knows who he's going to raise up on the last day. We don't know, but he knows. You see, he not only saw them, the last days, but he had the details of the last days written down for you and I to read. I want to tell you something tonight, and that's really where I told you I was going to change gears. I want to do something, to me it's a little unusual tonight. I want you to walk out of here tonight knowing this. I am, said, I will, and you got a copy of it. And it's easy to think that you believe he is who he says he is, but we're going to take a test in a minute to see if you believe that the I am is the I will. And that he's going to keep his word. Because he's made a series of I am and I will announcements. And they're all regarding the last days. I am and I will raise you up on the last day. So, do you believe him? That the I am said, Terry, I am and I will raise you up on the last day. If you eat the bread of life, I am will raise you up on the last day. Do you believe him? Let's see. The future has been revealed, and I want to give you some snapshots tonight. In Isaiah chapter 2, some 750 years before Jesus is born in Bethlehem, you're going to get the first view I want to show you tonight. It says, in the last days. So what's the context here? Jesus says, on the last day, I'll raise you up. I am and I will raise you up on the last day. I am and I will raise you up on the last day. I am and I will raise you up on the last day. Well, 750 years before he makes that statement, the prophet Isaiah says, in the last days, something's going to look like this. Let's see if you believe him, okay? In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all. The most important place on earth. Anybody want to guess where that is? Praise God, it's not Washington, D.C. It will be raised above the other hills. And the people from all over the world will stream there to worship. Is anybody listening? Do you believe I am? Says, I will. Do you think that you are right now reading what I am said I will do? Because see, I believe that he's already told us what he's going to do in advance. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all. That'll be in Jerusalem, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over this whole world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. That means he's here, right? To the house of Jacob's God. There he, the Lord, will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion. His word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord, listen. Do you believe this? The Lord will mediate between nations, and he's going to settle international disputes from the highest place in Jerusalem. So stop for a moment. I am and I will. How many people really believe him? It's a great question. What were they doing? Some group picked up stones. Some group started murmuring. Some people believed him. He's going to mediate international disputes from Jerusalem. Oh, it gets better. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nations will no longer fight against nation nor train for war anymore. Sorry, all you army people, you're out of work. You're unemployed. I am and I will. I just read it. Do you believe it? 750 years before Jesus is born in Bethlehem. If he was there before Abraham, that means he's there before Isaiah, right? Oh, he gets better. In Micah 4:4, Micah quotes the exact same prophecy of Isaiah. They must have talked to each other. But he adds verse 4. In the last days, again, he's referring to Isaiah's prophecy. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all. That's what Isaiah said. But then he adds verse 4. Everyone will live in peace and prosperity, enjoying their own grapevines and their own fig tree. That means fig Newtons for everybody, okay? You get your own grapevine, you get your own fig tree, for there will be nothing to fear. Why? Because they're hammering their swords into plowshares. The Lord, why not be afraid? The Lord of heaven's armies has made this promise. I am and I will. Anybody see where I'm going? In front of you, the future has been revealed. And for those who believe it, there's nothing to be afraid of. I am and I will. But you'd have to believe that, wouldn't you? Let's go to Hosea. Chapter 3, this shows that Israel will go a long time without a king or a prince. Well, they did. Without sacrifices, well, they still are not doing sacrifices. There's no temple there, not yet. No sacrifices, no sacred pillars, no priests or even idols. A long time. And afterwards, The people will return and devote themselves to the Lord. Well, they're coming back now. We're coming back in groves. They will come back, but afterward the people will return and devote themselves to the Lord their God and to David's descendant, their king. You know his name?
I am.
In the last days they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. There's going to be a king. There's going to be a gathering and a reassembly. And there's going to be a temple. And there's going to be a king sitting, a descendant of David, in Jerusalem when they turn their swords into plowshares. And what's it say? And the people of the earth will tremble in awe at the Lord and his goodness. And I'll ask you again, I am and I will. Do you believe him? Okay, that's Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. After Jesus reveals his name, and after he tells the world he's the bread of life, Acts 2 verse 17, the day of Pentecost, the apostle Peter gets up and he says, in the last days God says, I will. I am and I will. So I know in advance what he's going to do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, here comes, I will. He's saying it again. I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will, here it comes again, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness. The moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who eats the bread of life, now put that part in there, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved in these last days. I am and I will. Do you believe it? 2 Timothy 3:1. We know the future. That's what I'm trying to communicate. I am and I will, as documented, and it's in your language and it's in your hands. They murmured and picked up stones, and we look at them and say, what's the matter with you people? And then I look at the church today that is afraid. Why? Why are you afraid? Why would we be afraid? We already know what's going to happen in the last days, right? If you believed him. 2 Timothy 3:1. And you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there'll be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. And they will act religious. Oh, man. They will act religious, but they will reject the power. What power? They'll reject the power that could have made them godly. Stay away from people like this. What power will they reject? What power? The bread of life. What is the bread of life? Christ in me. They will act religious, but one pivotal point is missing. He's not in them. It's a religion without God. It's a religion of self. You know what it is a religion of? It's the religion of I am. Not him. I am. I am God. Not him. It's me. I don't need you. It's me. I'm in charge of me. I'll do what I want to do. Who do you think you are, church? Who do you think you are, Jesus? I am. Are we there? I am and I will. Any of this sound familiar? 1 Peter 1:18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life You inherited from your ancestors, and the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom. And let me put a word in here. God chose him as your manna from heaven. God chose him as your bread of life. When? When? How old is he? Before the world began, I am. But he has now revealed him to you in these last days. 2 Peter 3, verse 2. The Apostle Peter says, I want you to remember what the holy prophet said long ago, and what our Lord and Savior commanded through the apostles. Now don't read over that. Old Testament prophets and Jesus commanded that we tell you. So Old Testament, Christ himself. What is it that we're supposed to tell you? Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, something's going to happen. Remember, why am I reading all this? Because in the Bread of Life story, three times he says, I will raise you up on the last day. I'll raise you up on the last day. I'll raise you up on the last day. You think that's just casual language? No, it's not. I want to go back and read verse 2. I want you to remember what the holy prophet said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through the apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last day, scoffers will come mocking the truth and following their own desires. They, these scoffers, these mockers, these unbelievers, these people who think that they themselves are the I am, they will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? By the way, I get a lot of people that ask me that these days. Even church, you know, church people ask me that. Amen. What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything's remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. And then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. Everybody listen. I am and I will. Will what? The present earth is stored up for fire. Do you believe it? I don't know the day. I'm not acting like I know the day. He says the present world, the present heavens, and the present earth are stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No. He is being patient with you. So when these mockers and scoffers say, what about this Jesus coming that you keep talking about? You know what? That's one more day that God gave them an opportunity to repent and find salvation. Right. One more day that God's mercy kept that door open and he held back the fire of judgment. One more day. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. Somebody say hallelujah. That's who he is. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everybody to what? Say it out loud. Say it out loud. He wants everyone to repent. You know what the message that the church seems so reluctant to preach in America today? That word. Why? Why? I am and I will. What cures the fire? He's not willing that any should perish, but that everyone would just repent. You know what that means? Repenting is changing my direction. I think I am, so I'm walking away from God because I am was over here and I'm not him, so I'm walking away from God. Repentance is I turn around and I accept him for who he is. He is the I am not. I humble myself and repent in front of him. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do. And then in that moment, we're through by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the bread of life. We receive Christ inside of us. And when we receive Christ inside of us, we receive life inside of us. Life! Life! Not bread. Life is inside of us. And as long as that life is inside of you, you cannot die. They might bury your body, and He's going to raise that up on the last day. He's going to raise that up on the last day. But your soul cannot die. Why? Because your soul, if it leaves this body, is going to go into His presence. Why? Because He's inside of you. Life is inside of you. Already inside of you. You're just waiting for a new body to put it in. And one thing, God is not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repent. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come. I am and I will. And I want you to understand something tonight. It's going to come unexpectedly like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away. I am and I will. They're going to pass away in a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in a fire, and the earth, everything on it, will be found to deserve judgment. And since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you and I ought to be living right now. Why? Because you know what I am said I will do. You know. You know. You can't sit here and say, well, I didn't know. Yeah, you did. You did. It's here. I'm reading it to you. I'm just giving you examples of what He said the last days are going to produce. All the way up to the last day. Since everything's going to be destroyed like this, what holy, godly lives you should live. While I'm living this holy, godly life, under the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? I can't live a holy, godly life until the bread of life, the Spirit of God, comes inside of me. I can't do it. And neither can you. But here's the next thing. While we're looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, He will set the heavens on fire. And the elements will melt away in the flames. I'm going to ask everybody a question in light of that verse. Who in the world would look forward to that day and hurry it along when He sets the heavens on fire? Come on, fire! Who's going to do that? Do you know the answer? Who would anxiously await the heavens on fire and the elements melting away in the flames? Who would look forward to that day? Who in the world would look forward to the last day in the last days? Who? Those who have consumed the bread of life and those who know that He is the bread of life from heaven. His name is I am. And He told me and He told you in advance everything I read to you tonight. So I know what's going to happen. The heavens are going to be consumed in a great fire. And the earth and everything on it's going to be laid bare. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are going to pass away. And there's no longer going to be any sea. And then we're going to see the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descend as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And at that moment, the dwelling place of God will be with man. And there's going to be no more death and no more sickness and no more decay. And you know in advance, I am and I will. And some people will pick up stones to stone Him, and some people will murmur. But His church, the church, the ones that really have Christ inside of them, what's He say? We will look forward to the day of God and hurry it along. Maranatha, Hosanna, Hallelujah, Amen. Come soon, Lord, save us. Begin to reign, make it so. 2 Peter 3:13. We're looking forward to the new heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth He has promised. A world filled with God's righteousness. Right? That right? We're looking forward to that. Somebody said one time, well, I was hoping to get married and have children first. It's true. Somebody said, well, I was hoping to have children first. You know, I'm all for you getting married and having children, but I ain't waiting on you getting married and have children to hope for this. Because what do you think How do you weigh the scale between those two things? You're going to have eternal life with God in heaven, this beautiful forever world where beyond our imagination, versus something here that's temporary and we're all going to die and we're going to go to graveyards and bury people. If you're one of those who's really struggling with the follow me part of Christianity, then you really don't know the me and follow me. He is going to come with or without you. He's coming. Ready or not, he's coming. I am and I will is coming. The last days will end with the last day. I will raise them up on the last day. Jesus, the I am, says, don't be surprised by that which is coming. And when there's a scripture that I pray every day, and it's Luke's version of the Olivet Discourse, when he says, don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap, for that day is going to come upon everyone living on the earth. But don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. Pray that you'd be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. So I do. Every day I pray that prayer. Don't you let that day catch you unaware like a trap. Don't let that day be a surprise to you. Why would it be a surprise to you? I am said I will. So why would anybody who's in the church be surprised by that day? Nobody in the church should be surprised by that day. Why? Because I am said I will. And we believe him, right? I just don't know the day. I don't know the hour. Jesus, the I am, says, don't be surprised. And I want to read this and we'll wrap up. John 5:28. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son. What did we start with tonight? I am the bread of life that came from heaven. And whoever receives this bread from heaven, I will raise them up on the last day. Now, I jump over here to John chapter 5. And Jesus says, don't be surprised. Indeed, a time is coming when all the dead in their graves. Okay, this is people that are dead and buried. Will hear the voice of God's Son. You mean you can hear? Yeah, you can hear. They're going to hear the voice of God's Son. And they will rise again. This is what's going to happen on the last day. And those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life. What's the promise of the bread of life? You will never die. They will hear the voice of the Son of God and they will rise. And they will rise on the last day. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life. Those who have continued in evil, they're going to rise to experience judgment. I'm going to tell you what, you don't want judgment. You know what judgment means? You've died in your sins. You're unforgiven. That day will not surprise those who live in the power of the Holy Spirit, under the power of the I am. That day will not surprise those who Christ lives inside of. Why? Because the Spirit is groaning in me. I hope the Spirit is groaning in you. The Spirit is groaning, revealing. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. I believe we're supposed to know the season. We're supposed to know. We're supposed to have eyes that can see the season, the signs around us. 1 Thessalonians 5. These are the ones who have consumed. I don't know why I put comes in there. I must have messed something up. These are the ones that have who have consumed, eaten the bread of life. Excuse me. Christ lives inside of them. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For you know quite well, you know what that means? You won't be surprised. Anybody listening? For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpected like a thief in the night. For whom will it be a surprise? When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. And those group of people who come, he comes like a thief in the night, there will be no escape. You know what? Because they are surprised. But look at the second group. But you aren't in the dark. You aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief to the lost. Why? For you are the children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness or the night. So let's close. 1 Corinthians 15:24. And after all of that, I read all those last days. And I even read the last day. Don't be surprised when the dead in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God and they will rise. Some to judgment, some to eternal life. And after that, the end will come. When he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler, every authority, and every power. Notice the word destroyed. This is a war. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. When the I Am has destroyed the last enemy, death, then all that will be left is, are you ready? Life. What do you think is going to happen when death's gone? Well, you got less life. The I Am is the bread of life, not the bread of happiness, not the bread of new cars, boats, big houses, or wealth. And I don't know about you, but I like life, don't you? I do. I've grown attached to it. I am sure tonight, I have a testimony. I am sure that Jesus is the I Am. I am sure that Jesus is the bread of life. I am sure that we are in the last days, and I will has been revealed by I Am. I am sure there will be a last day. Through my own death or the glorious return of the I Am, there will be a last day. Everybody gets a last day. What you do, what you and I do regarding the I Am will determine the day after the last day. It's called forever. I suggest that we all receive the glorious invitation of the I Am to partake of his bread of life, which simply is Christ in me, Christ in us. Is Jesus who he says he is? If you're in the room tonight and you're having a hard time with the follow me part of Christianity, it's because one reason only, is you still don't know who he is. Because once you know who he is, the follow me part, that's not a struggle anymore. On the night before he died, Jesus said these words to all who will follow the I Am. Matthew 26:26. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. And he broke it in pieces and he gave it to the disciples and said, take this and eat it. This is me. This is my body. This is the bread from heaven. He's referring to the flesh that will be put on the cross the next day. You had better take it and eat it before the last day, or you will die in the wilderness outside of the promised land. Why did Jesus link his story of the bread of life to Moses' story in the wilderness? Because if you and I refuse to eat the bread from heaven in our current life, we will die in the wilderness of sin. Outside of the promised land. Within reach of the promised land, but you won't cross over. I challenged you last week to come up with any question you could ask God that could not be answered by Jesus' name. Two words and three letters. Anybody got one, please send it to me. That's why Jesus is the name above all names. There's only one name that can save us from the coming wrath. I Am and I Will. This entire series, 12 sessions, will be based upon I Am, his name, and what he says, I Am, I Will. Do you believe him? I hope you believe every word. Next week, we're going to focus on Jesus' announcement that I am the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you that the door is still open and the bread of life is still within our reach. And that, Lord, eternal life, the gift from heaven, is available today who all will call upon your name.